You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
Welcome to Satellite Sisters. We're happy to be with you here today. I'm Leanne Dolan here in the Wondery Studios in West Hollywood. I'm a writer and producer. I live in Pasadena, California. I'm married, have a couple of kids and a dog.
Oh, I'm Liz Dolan. I'm the middle sister. I am an on-again, off-again corporate executive. I have a little dog named Hooper, and I live in Santa Monica, California.
Hey, and I'm Julie Dolan. I'm in Dallas, Texas, and I'm so curious what the Wondery Studio really looks like. I've never seen it.
What does your studio look like?
All these, my studio's a closet, okay, here in Dallas. But, you know, I didn't always live in Dallas. I've lived and worked all over the world, or in at least some unusual places. I'm an empty nester. I'm an urban nana with five grandchildren. No dogs at the moment, but one never knows. Mm-hmm. And just happy to be here with you.
All right. It's election day. It's happening. But if you found us today, maybe you need some respite from the election tension. So we do have an excellent show planned. I mean, we feel like it's an excellent show. First of all, as we left the air last week, we got breaking news on our phones. Julie broke in after we said goodbye with, Whitey Bulger is dead.
Yes.
Now, so, Liz, you're going to explain the family connection and why people on the Facebook group immediately thought of us when the biggest gangsta in Boston died. I mean, it's nuts.
Because some of you know our connection to Whitey Bulger, but many of you are surprised that we have such a close connection to a the Irish Mafia.
Julie, you're going to tell us how to get into Harvard. Maybe
Harvard had to spill the beans at this court, at this trial, Lee, and so I've got the scoop. So I want you to get your pen and paper out. I think there's a chance you could get in now, Lee.
Okay. Still hurts.
For any of us.
A wound that still hurts. You know what, Liz? I have an excellent panda story. And
we need a panda story today.
We do. This is going to make you feel good. Just about life in general.
Also, life is a panda?
The lengths to which people love pandas. That's what I would say. Also, we have a couple of special episodes coming up, so we're going to tell you about those. We have our Poll Dark recap. We have some great entertaining sisters recommendations and a special birthday that we would like to acknowledge. But first, Liz, Election Day.
How are you feeling? So it is Election Day, and, you know, like many others, there was some tossing and turning last night. But here's what I want to say. I opened up the Satellite Sisters Facebook group this morning, and when I saw how many of you are poll workers today, I was so proud of us as a Satellite Sister and Mister community. So Liz, Janice, Mary, Greta, Joan, Beth, Yvette, Tanis, you're just some of the Satellite Sisters who posted that they are poll workers today. Plus, Amy said her 75-year-old mother is a poll worker, and Kathy said...
she's not at my poll.
And Kathy said her 17-year-old...
That sounds kind of ageist, Liam.
It is. I'm sorry. We had some very slow poll workers in 2016. There was only one of me there, and it took quite a while. So.
Okay. Well, to be totally ageist about it, then, maybe you'll get Kathy's 17-year-old daughter.
Awesome.
Because she's a poll worker today, because she was, you know, annoyed she can't vote yet. So good for you. Thank you for doing that. I am going to vote as soon as we're done here today. And, you know, in California, we have a gubernatorial race, senatorial race. Obviously, we have congressional representatives. But, you know, the tough categories are often like the judges and other officials that you don't know that much about.
Yeah.
So I was very happy the other day, Saturday, in my Saturday morning body sculpting class that I've been going to for several years. At the end of class, Julie, the woman who I've been next to every Saturday for, you know, like 2 years, said, "Don't forget to vote for me on Tuesday." And so I was like,
"Really?
Who are you? What are you running for?" She said, I'm a judge. My name is Helen. I'm on the ballot. I would be grateful for your vote." I'm like, this is some excellent canvassing right here. We hadn't even gotten off up off our mats yet. So
That is grassroots campaigning, Liz.
she knows her constituency. It's the body sculpting group.
Yes.
That's good.
But it is true that those judges and things, yeah, it's hard to, and we have some very tough ballot measures here in California,
yes,
this time, mm-hmm, too. So it actually takes some work.
Yeah.
Always very, you know, the wording on it is tricky.
Right.
So
yes.
Sometimes when you're voting against something, it's because you're voting for something.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly,
yes.
Julie.
A yes is a no. Okay, I'd like to apologize to Kathy's mother. I'm sure she's an excellent poll worker.
Yeah,
Amy's mother.
Amy's mother.
She's probably been doing it for 50 years.
Lynn. I know. I'm okay. Sorry.
She's probably the best poll worker ever. Lynn.
I know.
She's probably received a number of awards.
I know. I'm sorry. I had one bad experience at our polls with some donut eating poll workers. I shouldn't take it out on all poll workers, and I'd like to apologize. I also just want to acknowledge that one of our own satellite sisters is running,
yes,
for state senate in New York, Kathleen Cleary. She said she was inspired by the Stay Noisy hashtag, by your story, Liz. She is out there running for state senate on Long Island. So good luck to Kathleen.
I mean,
that's pretty great. There are
that
a lot of
great
women running all across the country, and that's
great.
Yeah,
that great is good.
No matter what happens, that will make this year's election historic. So
yeah,
we're all for that. Stay noisy, sisters. Okay. As Julie mentioned, literally the moment we finished last week's show, our phones started to light up with news alerts, the breaking news of the death of notorious gangster, murderer, FBI informant Whitey Bulger. Some of you even posted this news for us in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group before we got out of the studio, which prompted others of you to wonder why this was such a hot topic in the Satellite Sisterhood. So we'll start by explaining some of the backstory. And then this murder was really pretty, I'm just going to call it cinematic, because I feel like it was Scorsese meets Sophocles, the way Whitey Bulger actually found his end. But here's the deal. We grew up in New England, and our father, Massachusetts born, every year would go to a Jesuit retreat around Easter, right? Wasn't it always Palm Sunday? He would go away that weekend with a Jesuit and a bunch of his fellow, you know.
Yeah, it was Father Pierce. Yeah,
yeah.
He was who married me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So,
and he baptized all of us.
Yes.
Yeah. He was sort of the family, mm-hmm, family priest.
We had a family Jesuit, and part of this group, Whitey Bulger was the famous notorious gangster, but his brother, Billy Bulger, was the head of the Massachusetts State Senate and ultimately the head of the University of Massachusetts. And so Whitey by then, I think, was already on the lam from the FBI. Or anyway, it was just this classic bad brother, good brother story that every time our father came home from this Palm Sunday retreat where they were allegedly, you know, thinking deep thoughts, they were actually gossiping about Whitey Bulger. And he would come home with these Whitey Bulger stories. So Whitey was kind of a big presence in our home growing up. Also, he was much in the news because, you know, remember when they finally got him, he was accused of murdering 19 people and they found him guilty of 11 people. So this was a terrible, terrible person. Anyway.
Yeah, he's a terrible person.
Yes. So Whitey Bulger was very alive in all of our imaginations for many years when we were kids. And then when the FBI actually found him, it turns out by then our parents had moved to Santa Monica, California. They lived about 10 blocks from me, but turns out they lived one block from where Whitey Bulger had been holed up all these years.
It was just, it was crazy.
So when the FBI, that was the biggest day ever in Santa Monica, when the FBI rolled in, when they finally found Whitey Bulger, who had been like on the lam for 17 years, and he was one block from mom and dad. We had so much fun talking about this because, of course, our parents, but particularly our father, was probably the only guy in Santa Monica who would have recognized Whitey Bulger on the street. And
right,
so we could just feel that like $5 million reward
it was
slipping through
reward.
Our
parents.
But at the time, our father was suffering a sort of late stage Alzheimer's. So even if he had told us that he had seen Whitey Bulger on the street, I don't think we would have believed that, right?
We would have never believed that.
No.
Really.
No.
Then we would feel bad because then we would have blown him off and he would have been right. And but like there's a whole episode where we tell this story. You can just search on Whitey Bulger at our website. But like we spent months after that, like with our parents, just as we were walking around Santa Monica thinking, do you think Whitey shopped at Pavilions? Or do you think Whitey came to this Italian restaurant? Like, we had so many opportunities to see Whitey and his girlfriend, who allegedly got a lot of beauty services right in our neighborhood. So mom would be sitting in the chair getting her hair cut, and she's like, do you think Whitey's wife was ever in here?
You know, I will never forget that morning when I turned on the local news. And they had the cameras, the helicopters flying over Santa Monica. It was like 7 a.m. when it all went down and they got him. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that is mom and dad's apartment building in the back shot there.
Yes.
And I called mom. I was like, that is Whitey Bulger. Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, we walked over there that day. There was a lot of standing around in front of the Princess Eugenia was the name of the building. A lot of standing around for the next several weeks where mom and dad and I and others who were visiting, we would just walk over there and look at it like, huh, we can't believe Whitey was there all these years. So
it became part of the tour that when you'd go visit mom and dad in Santa Monica, dad would take you on the Whitey Bulger tour, you know.
You know, and thinking
he could remember that. I mean,
yes,
he really
true.
Couldn't remember too much at that
like
point.
Who you were?
That
he had no idea who you were. Yeah,
that he had total recall.
You know, I think back, and I really think the discovery of Whitey was one of the more entertaining things that happened in the last couple of years of our parents' life.
Yeah.
You know, things were getting hard, really hard, because our father was really sick and life was getting very narrow for them. And then they found Whitey Bulger, or they almost did. So it was great. Anyway, so that's why we care about Whitey Bulger. But, you know, if you saw the news last week, you'll see that he had just been transferred from one prison to another.
Mm-hmm.
And he was he had been there less than 24 hours. He was wheelchair bound. Four inmates, they have this all on camera. Four inmates entered his cell, wheeled him away. He's 89 years old, wheeled him away so that none of this was on camera. And then they say this is going to get a little graphic. I'll just touch on it briefly. They viciously beat him unconscious with a lock in a sock, which apparently is a common way people murder each other in prison. I had not heard that. And then they attempted to gouge his eyes out with a razor. So this is like, you cannot make this up. And so the guy that they think did it, this guy, Freddie Gaius, he was, they describe him as a former Massachusetts-based aspiring mafia hitman, which is just such an interesting aspiration. But apparently he hadn't gotten to that level yet. But he was in prison and already serving a life sentence. So they figure it's this guy, that it was clearly a mob hit. They asked him to do it. And so he wanted to up his ranking, you know, even though he's going to be in jail for the rest of his life, better to be known as a mafia killer than not, apparently. But also he had a deep hatred of cooperating witnesses, you know, what the mob calls rats. And this was a big part of what made the Whitey story so fascinating, is not only was he, you know, the Irish mafia's most notorious gangster, that whole time he had been an FBI informant.
Right.
And there was this whole, the Boston Globe uncovered all of this corruption inside the Boston office of the FBI, where they protected Whitey for all these years and allowed him to just continue on his reign of terror. So this, like, you literally can't make this up. This is such a fascinating story. So there you go. It's he certainly went out the way he has taken other people out in his life. But mainly,
it was interesting was the statements from some of the victims. Like one victim said he hoped the death was slow and painful. You know, the victim's family. Another victim's family said he's the one less scumbag on earth.
Yeah.
Or a third had said, oh, this is a fantastic Halloween present.
Wow.
So there was
no love lost.
Yeah, no.
There is some deep
restorative justice. Yes. They hadn't done a lot of restorative justice work on Whitey Bulger.
No.
Yeah, he was a terrible man.
He was a terrible man, but mainly, we will admit, we get a chuckle every time we think of his his capture. And then they found like millions of dollars in cash in the walls of his apartment. Again, one block from mom and dad's.
He had been a lottery winner.
He fixed the lottery.
Yeah. Right. And that's how he had the money to stay on the lam was this lottery.
It's an insane story.
It is.
And Martin Scorsese sort of based the movie The Departed on Whitey Bulger, but there have been more stories
about
it.
The Black Mass was another movie based on Whitey Bulger, too.
Yeah. But someday we're doing our version of the story. You heard
it's
it here
gonna
first.
It's going to be a lovable buddy comedy. Crazy Jim Dolan and on the lam Whitey Bulger.
And I said to you yesterday, sisters, that if mom and dad were still alive, the death of Whitey Bulger would have sustained them for the entire winter season. They would just have like retold this story 100 times too. So, thank you, Whitey Bulger.
It's a lighthearted look at a horrible man's horrible life.
Yes.
Julie, can we talk about the Lego incident now?
Can we talk about the Lego incident?
Yes, we do have a follow-up as well, because I had posted on our Facebook group that during my Urban Nana stint, where I was taking care of my three grandchildren and their dog, Lily, that live here in Dallas, that there was a small incident with a Lego. And I just want to give the details. This was at the end of what I would say was a Black Diamond assignment. I was alone, three kids. One day I had four different after-school activities, including swimming, which you know requires a change of clothes, showering. It was a lot. But I was at the last stretch of it. I was making dinner. Their parents were on the way home. Things were going well. Everything was calm and orderly. And all of a sudden, Ben, the middle child, came out screaming, saying, "Peter has swallowed a Lego." And I hear Peter screaming. And so I rush in, and you know, this is a real moment of panic, because I don't know whether he's got the Lego lodged in his throat. I don't know where it is. And Peter is crying so hard, he can't tell me. And Ben, and I keep saying, "Ben, was it a big piece? What is a little piece?" And Ben is just, you know, holding up pieces. He's in a panic about it. Alice comes rushing into the room. She's 11, and she's like, "Don't worry, Nana." And she grabs her little laptop, and she starts tapping on her laptop, and she types in what to do when a kid swallows a Lego. She Googles this in real time.
I love kids.
I'm talking to Peter. I'm trying to like, "Peter, did it go in your tummy or is it in your throat?" Because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking I'm performing an emergency tracheotomy to clear his, you know, airway. And Alice has like come up with information about, you know, the size of the Lego, when it's acceptable, when it's not acceptable, when you have to go. So it was quite a bit of commotion there. But I'm happy to say that it was a very small Lego. It did go into Peter's stomach. His airway was not blocked. Alice was helpful as well, because once she realized, you know, once she got me the information that if the Lego was smaller than 15 millimeters or something like that, it would be fine. She also then found an amusing video on YouTube to let Peter watch, which helped him calm down. So there she
There's
was.
There's a video for everything.
With a laptop, just performing medical emergencies.
So going and Googling it is not something you would have done.
Ever have thought that in the moment? I thought like, I'm going to have to get a knife and like open up this kid's airway. I was worried he couldn't breathe or was stuck there. But it
Those
was
are
not.
All good concerns, I yes. think. Yeah. Yeah, could he talk?
No, I was, yeah. yeah. Thank you, Leon. I was doing solid work. I did have to report it to their parents about the Lego incident, which I hope that's not a black mark on my record. That's what I'm worried about. But
did you have to report it because you knew that they would mention it, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah, because the kids were going to talk about it. So, yes, Liz, they that's. You know, it's only when they're really, really little, Liz, that you can get away with things. Okay. So, as soon as they can talk, you're in trouble. You're in trouble.
Okay.
Just keep that in mind in terms of any babysitting assignments that you might have. But the parents seem to take it in stride. Peter has taken it in stride, and all is well. So I appreciate people's concerns. I'm sorry we left you hanging there, wondering about what happened. But, you know, Never in my wildest dreams would I have like thought to Google, you know, what to do. What
it's
to
all
do
there.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and
for
chilling
sure.
there
yes.
with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. The other way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free-for-a-year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz, my hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. Do I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E. pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS.
There's a YouTube video for everything.
Everything.
Honestly. That's what you learn from millennials in your life. And now these other generation. What's the next generation called?
I don't know. Gen Z?
No. Gen Zers. Yeah. That's I think that's what Alice is, a Gen Z.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. Coming up, we have the Big Panda Story, and then we have Harvard Admission. But first, we'd like to thank a couple of sponsors here on Satellite Sisters. Liz.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we are back, and I want to remind everyone what we announced, that we have a special bonus episode coming this month on November 16th, which is a Friday, so not our usual Tuesday. You will get in your feed a special brand new Satellite Sisters Family Dynamics Holiday Special. And we are interviewing Alan Alda, on this special because we decided we needed a communications coach. We need to all be ready to go home for the holidays and be our best selves, right, sisters? To like not get into fights with people, to try to go with the right spirit. So that'll drop on November 16th. So make sure you're subscribed to Satellite Sisters so you automatically get that in your feed and don't forget about it. But I noticed on the Satellite Sisters Facebook group that Chris, after we announced this last week, sort of posted a question like, you know, on the one hand, we say stay noisy. And on the other hand, last week we were talking about when to zip it. And so Chris posed the question like, when do I do both at the same time? How do you live in both of those worlds? So just wondering if you guys had a thought about when you stay noisy and when you zip it. So Julie?
Well, you know, for me, zip it isn't repress it. I mean, zip it to me means stop talking and start listening. I think that is really important. And I think when I think about the, you know, the times within my family, when I've really zipped it and just listened to, you know, my sons, you know, I've actually learned something when I wasn't talking, when I was really listening. So
that is a revelation.
I think when I say zip it, that's what I'm thinking. Just stop talking, start listening. And that's very important. And that can run in conjunction with staying noisy. Yep.
Okay. Leanne, how about you?
Oh, well, I thought of it as repressing. You know, I wasn't really
keep it to yourself.
When Julie mentioned the zip it last week, I'm like, I don't know. I feel less and less the need to zip it and more the need to stay noisy. I mean, there are situations where I wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. A dinner table, a holiday table. I'm just not going to get into it with people there. Ever about anything, it's not worth it. Mm-hmm. So, okay. But, you know, in general, I feel like at this point in my life, I don't know. I'm zipping it less and less. How about you, Liz?
I enjoyed what Brenna posted in the Facebook group. She put up a little sign that said, "You don't have to attend every argument you are invited to."
Yes.
I'm with you, Brenna, because I feel like sometimes you just have to not take the bait. Some people are really trying to draw you into an argument, not a conversation. So you have to be aware of that. So that's kind of where I draw the line. She also said that sometimes she comments on a family member's Facebook post and then immediately goes back and deletes it. But at least she gets it out there. So anyway, so November 16th, we'll have like the master, Alan Alda. Maybe he'll teach us a few things we can all take home for the holidays.
That's going to be good. Okay, sisters. Now, you know, I told you earlier this month that there was a big trial going on in Boston. This is the Students for Fair Admissions are alleging that Harvard University intentionally discriminated against Asian Americans. So they have a big case going on. But the big benefit is all of us who have ever thought about, I wonder how you get into Harvard. I wonder how you really get the edge into Harvard. And part of the testimony that is coming out is things that, as a former admissions director, I have never heard this before. So this is news. So Leanne, Liz, get your pens and papers. Okay. Leanne, if you want to go to Harvard or if you want your kids to transfer, this is how you do it. Okay. First of all, number one, forget those computer camps, violin lessons, you know, ballet schools. What you really need to do is pack up and move your child or your applicant to Montana.
Arizona. Okay.
They have applicants from sparsely populated areas. You two do not live in a sparsely populated area.
No.
But if your daughter was a farm girl, right, or your son was a farm boy from Idaho, they statistically would have a better chance of getting into Harvard than other people. Than from Santa Monica, California.
Okay, that's quite a sacrifice for a family to make.
But that, if you really want to invest in your child's future, you should move. That's a good one. And if you can't move to Idaho or Montana, the next best thing to do, and this is counterintuitive, is to move to New York City or Boston, because those areas as well admit students at a higher percentage rate than other areas in the country.
Oh, okay. I wonder why that
just
is.
That's probably has something to do with alumni children.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yes, it does. That it would alumni, children of faculty. Yes. So that would push the rate up. And you're playing a percentage when you're applying, you know, when they get 42,000 applications for 2,000 spots, you know, that's, you have to play the numbers, Leon. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think that both of you would qualify as having interesting jobs, because that's another category where you can boost your chances, that if you are the son or daughter of a parent with an unusual job, so not an accountant or a lawyer, podcaster, kind of unusual. Okay. Or a mechanic,
not really a job. That's a good one. Not so much of a job, but okay.
But again, that you don't think that might weigh heavily, but that's the thing. So as you plot out your child's future, think carefully about your career choices.
Can
that's
I
all
ask
I
about
can
that,
say.
Maybe, Julie, let me, how do they know what your parents do? I mean,
because
they
ask that on the application.
Oh, they do. Oh. I mean, it's a long time since I applied to college.
What Harvard is saying is they consider that as part of your overall thing.
Oh, okay.
So it counts. Because they think you will, it will bring more diversity to the class.
Yeah.
Now, Leon, this is like earth-shattering news. That if you declare coming into Harvard University that you would like to major in classics, okay, you have a higher admit rate than if you said you wanted to be a major in computer science.
Julie, I tried that 30 years ago. It did not work for me.
But do you think it was because you did your application in pencil, sister?
I did do it
sister?
In pencil. I did do it in pencil because it was a very long application and I didn't know how to type because I was so busy taking extra Latin classes that I didn't take the typing class Mom had told us all to take. So I never learned to type, but I was the president of the Latin club. So I don't...
So you're pushing back on that.
I'm just pushing back on that because I think it's one of
those... No, but I'm saying you had...
Yeah.
It's so, one factor, but you didn't put together enough factors. You were a girl from Connecticut.
Yeah,
okay. Not good. Your father was a businessman. Not good. All working against you. But I do think the next you did have, which you have to somehow show that you have a joyful love of learning.
Oh,
for goodness sakes. I don't know how you do that, but that is something that they're looking for, that you have to indicate that in addition to taking advanced Latin, and you were also working on some other learning objectives on your own. So
something more joyful. What would that be?
Okay, recommenders. Okay. I know this is true. If you have to tell all the people that you want to recommend, don't just say you're excellent. Liz, I'm sure everybody who recommended you to college said, oh, Liz is an excellent student. Forget it. You're never going to get in with that.
Okay.
They have to use the adjective superb, over the top half percent. Okay, excellent will not get it done. Okay,
wow, harsh. Superb. Who uses that? Yeah,
you
Latin,
better
Latin
use that.
Teachers.
You better use that.
Latin teachers who wrote my recommendation.
Okay, you got to tell a good story. Okay, Leon, I know that in pencil, your essay was probably pretty darn good because you're a good writer now, and you're good, and I'm sure you were a good writer then. They're not looking for candidates that are aggressive, unhappy, arrogant, or boring.
Okay.
Now,
I mean, again, I wore a jumpsuit and my red boots to my interview at Harvard.
That seems joyful to me.
Leon, I think you nailed, which is the next point, effervescence.
Effervescence.
They are looking for effervescence.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We know
you were
that
doomed
athletes,
geographically.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you were good in sports, Leon, but you were not an all-star hockey player.
No.
Had you been one, 86% of the recruited athletes are admitted to Harvard.
Oh.
So that's good. Now, here is another little strategy I just pass along. They said when you're doing that alumni interview, in addition to showing up in the jumpsuit and the red boots, that if you can do it in a coffee shop and just pay your friends to show up to say hi, and that if you select a very diverse group of friends, that would be very good, because then the alumni interviewer would be able to say that it appears that you are well-liked by a wide variety of kids. And that will. That
oh my
will
God!
Help you.
That takes some stage managing. I see a lot of a lot of parents getting involved in making that happen.
I don't even know what to say to that. Because, like, I mean, hopefully, that's so stupid. I mean, hopefully you're not a big loser and you are well-liked by a wide variety of kids, but paying people to show up at the coffee shop, is that really
all
the
right,
best
I
way to
exaggerated
do?
The okay. paying people to, right. But the idea that they are trying to evaluate whether you're liked by a wide variety of people, mm-hmm. that you have to demonstrate that. The burden is on you to show that you're effervescent and that you're not arrogant or boring. And
isn't that what your Facebook page is for?
Yeah. Jeez. Okay. Any other tips?
All right. But this is very revealing because they're admitting it and they have never had to admit that these are actually the criteria that they're using for selecting among, you know, outstanding candidates. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, all sound legit. Those all sound like more than just SAT scores. And yes. I think that.
Well, what they're saying, and this is true, and I can tell you from my admissions experience, there is so many qualified people based on grades and SAT scores that they have to come up with this wider set of criteria to select because mm-hmm. there's no other means. Mm-hmm. But whether this wider set of criteria is valid or whether it discriminates against certain groups like Asian Americans, that is what the crux of the court case.
Or jumpsuit wearing girls from Connecticut.
Yes. The less effervescent.
You have a lot of effervescence, Leanne.
I do. Sure no, that's what I mean.
That's where you are over the top superb.
Yes, I'm over the top in effervescence, but apparently, I don't know. All right. Well, that's good intel, Julie. That's just a lot to think about for kids when they're also thinking about other stuff. And, you know, there are other schools, but as I have proven, there are other schools. Okay, good. That was good intelligence, though. All right, here's something that's going to make you feel effervescent, Liz and Julie. You'll be glad to know that China has launched a make-or-break experiment to prevent the extinction of the giant panda.
Well, yay. Yeah. And that's good. I assume that was going on already, no?
No, they have done stuff in the last 10 years that have saved it, like or the last 30 years. They were down to 1,000 giant pandas, and now they're up to about 2,200 pandas with their efforts over the last few decades. But now they're going the extra mile, and they've set aside two big panda
reserves.
Panda reserves. One you've seen on the news all the time, right? Oh, that one where there's all the cute baby pandas.
Yes.
And it's a huge tourist.
They're always rolling around. Falling down.
Yeah, because they're pandas and people love them. And in the article in the LA Times, they actually call them roly-poly celebrities, which is a funny term, replete with political and cultural significance and an economic value as a tourism drawing card. Okay.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So there's one panda reserve place that is just really built for news crews and tourists and roly-poly pandas. And then there's the real place that they've set aside, which is twice the size of Yellowstone National Park. Okay. And this is the top.
Oh, my goodness.
It's huge. Wow. Yeah, it's huge. And this is the top secret place where they really want the pandas to mate and they really want them to go right into the wild. So these are not pandas that they're going to breed to give away or things like that. These are pandas that will go into the wild. And the key to this, Liz, is that they never have any human contact.
Oh, really?
But they do have to have some human contact. So you're wondering, well, how does that happen?
Yeah.
And this is...
Do the keepers dress up as pandas? Is that what you're about to tell me?
This is the effervescent part of this, Liz.
No. They dress up as pandas?
Yes. They put it gets better. So just
okay,
wait.
We'll let you tell the story.
So they dress up in giant panda suits. Okay. But and this is the extra mile. This is the effervescent part. The panda suits are soaked in panda pee. They are panda urine soaked panda suits. So that makes the baby pee. Here is the photo. I mean, stop it. Just look at that photo.
Oh, my God. Okay, we will post this on the blog and in the show notes. It's like a panda carrying a baby panda, but the panda is upright on two legs, clearly a human.
But soaked in panda pee. That's what you didn't know when you saw that.
From the photo, you can't tell.
You can't tell. And now that you know that, don't you love this person even more?
Yes.
I mean, doesn't this give you a whole new level of respect? I mean,
panda people, thank you.
They are really doing the job. And that's it because they can't, you know, they have to be, these baby pandas have to think that those are their parents. So those panda keepers, I mean, that's the extra mile.
Yes.
They are doing the job there. So hats off, panda keepers in Japan or in China. You're really doing an amazing job. I mean,
and at what point in the baby pandas' lives do they realize, well, I can't walk on two legs?
That must be soul crushing if they find out.
That's their adolescence, their teenage years. We're like, well, they've been lying to me all along. They're not pandas.
That would make a heck of a Harvard essay, though. But I found out my panda butt dad is not really a panda. Just think about it.
Okay.
There's an animated movie in that,
well,
too.
Lynn and Liz, I have another story from the wild, and I need your opinion on this, because I'm not too sure that I'm going to go along with this trend. Of course, I think we all love farm to table, you know, where things are curated and grown and crafted and plucked and
fresh.
You know, it's all good. So, but move over, because the new trend is jungle to table. That is now what the chefs around the world are trying to go to even greater heights to bring more exotic food, to bring a better tale of how they brought this food to the table. And so they've started, the New York Times did a big story about how chefs in Bolivia, excuse me, are going on night hunts, Bolivia into the jungles to capture crocodiles, or a relative of the croc, the caiman. And then they, you know, they go out in these little boats at night and they trap these caiman so that they can serve them at, you know, in restaurants in Bolivia and in Peru.
What's
what
a caiman?
I mean, I don't know. I just,
the picture, it just looks like a small alligator.
First of all, I've had alligator. Yeah, it looks like a small alligator. And I've had alligator. I didn't think it was that good. I mean, it's not worth like someone risking their life going into the jungle. And I feel kind of sorry for the crocs and the caimans. I mean, they're living in a jungle. You know, they're way out. They're not bothering us, right?
Right.
They're just
yeah.
doing their own thing. I mean, it's a little different than a farm. And, mm-hmm. you know, yes, it might make for an interesting story, but I say leave them alone. That's my opinion.
But if you take the locavore thing to, you know, to its limit, of course, we eat the things that are around here, the cows that just pop up all over. Cows and chickens and things. But if you're in Bolivia, sort of up in the jungles, this is your local food supply. I'm not for it or against it. I'm just thinking it through from the farm to table perspective. Like, this is what is in your ecosystem.
I'm with Julie. Right. I'm voting with Julie on this one. Julie wins.
Okay.
Just way to go, Leanne.
Julie, you win.
Because it's election day, you feel like we just get to vote on all these stories?
That's it. That's
it. Okay, no jungle to table for us. Let's move on. That's it.
Let's call it Proposition 22.
Don't recount on that.
Okay. Thumbs down on Proposition 22.
All right, stay with us. We have Entertaining Sisters coming up next. But first, we'd like to thank some sponsors. Thanks to Harry's and Away Luggage today.
And we always have all the links in the show notes and on our website to the sponsors of any episode. Okay, Leon, you told me you had a story about Martha Stewart attempting something for which I am 100% unqualified.
Yes. All right. We're going to your place in Bend, Oregon for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
You've already shocked and amazed us by sending out a
assignment list. Uh-huh.
Okay. I don't know what your turkey situation is in terms of decorative turkeys.
What do you mean, decorative turkeys?
Do you have decorative turkeys?
No, I do not.
Okay. So do you have pilgrims?
I only have the woodland creatures you sent me for Christmas. I figured woodland creatures are okay for Thanksgiving,
they
too.
They are. They are. But you might want some turkeys.
Okay.
So where do you go for decorative turkeys, Liz? You go to Martha Stewart, right? I mean, she's our girl. She's got it all. Her website now. She has not forsaken Thanksgiving.
It's kind of her main meal. Yeah. I mean, the Thanksgiving is all Martha Stewart.
It is. I mean, you know, what other people have moved right on to Christmas after Halloween, not Martha. Mm-hmm. She has a lot of turkey information, both turkeys you can eat and turkeys you can decorate with.
Okay.
So here's one. Like, these look cute, right? You see these placeholder cards?
Oh, those are cute.
Okay. Now, Liz, you would go to a place and go, I'd like to order those, but not Martha. She wants you to make them.
Oh.
So I just laughed out loud thinking of you attempting molded decorative turkey place card holders, because here's this is just the list of things you'll need to make them.
Okay.
I'm guessing you don't have any of these things.
Okay. Okay, try me. I might surprise you.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already Framebridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we... We love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going, like you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo, yes. you can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria Seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
Dry rubber gloves and a dust mask.
Nope.
Permastone compound.
I don't even know what that is.
Spatula.
Okay, I have one.
Plastic turkey-shaped candle or chocolate mold.
Of course not.
Wood blocks.
No.
Sandpaper, 80 grit, or a sanding sponge. Do you have a sanding sponge, Liz?
No.
Do you have a Dremel drill and a sanding bit? That's optional.
I don't know what you just said. I don't know what those words were.
You need constructive adhesives such as liquid nails. Do you do a lot of liquid nailing?
Never.
How about rubber bands?
Yes.
Okay. Paper towels?
Yes.
Okay. You're halfway. Not really.
So
there.
Something really good I can make out of rubber bands and paper towels.
Okay. And then here you go. Mixing buckets, joint compound, acrylic paint, and a paintbrush. That's all you need to make these turkeys. No one is making these turkeys. Not one person in America is making these turkeys. Mm-hmm. But they're so festive. Looking.
I bet people will make them. Maybe they may, people who like to craft, you know, I don't know.
I hope so, because they're really cute. But I don't think it's Liz Dolan is going to be
okay.
Made.
If you make these, if you are within the sound of our voices, you make these, we want to see them in the Facebook group.
Sure. Like we, I'll put a link to this Martha Stewart thing. I dare you to make them.
Go for it.
I dare.
I dare you.
I dare you. I would say there might be a prize, but no, there's no prize. It's just the prize is that you have decorative turkeys. Yeah. Really. The prize is that.
And then you have to use them every year because you've gone to all the trouble to make decorative turkeys.
All right. Speaking of the holidays, coming up, we do have a couple of episodes. We have the Alan Alda episode. That's a special episode. And then also for Thanksgiving week, we will be posting a holiday food show. Mm. This is going to be wall-to-wall holiday food, holiday entertaining. We're going to bring some of our favorite recipes. We're going to bring... We got plans, right, Julie? You have some special magazines you've been looking at.
I may even disclose Mom's super secret potted shrimp recipe.
Oh, okay.
I think it's time.
Yeah, I was going to do a couple of recipe postings, too. So this is what we want you to do, Satellite Sisterhood. In our Facebook group this week, I will be posting a question, what is your favorite holiday food tradition? So that can be Thanksgiving, it could be Hanukkah, it could be Christmas, it can be New Year's, it can be whatever, Friendsgiving, whatever you do, that's your favorite holiday food tradition. We want to hear about it. We're going to talk about it on our special holiday show that we'll be taking.
I like food traditions.
Yeah, food.
You do something special every year. Your go-to dish,
right?
The thing your family only gets once a year,
right?
Yeah. Okay.
Fantastic. That's what we're doing. So yeah, we have a lot of holiday stuff coming up. Now, entertaining sisters. All right, Julie, we're just going to do our mini Poldark recap. What did you think about this episode? Right.
Well, I thought it was a very big episode, Leanne. I think things actually happened, but there are three main themes. People are pregnant. Okay, so that. That means that there's going to be all kinds of news coming up and complications. Also, people have moved to London. I think that now we are getting away from, they're not just groveling in the dirt trying to find one more little potato. Okay, they're going to be in London.
Yeah,
man,
yeah.
Right?
That's good.
Things are going to happen there. So I think. And then sadly, Ross Poldark is involved in another business venture. This one is a banking venture. And I just would never go in business with Ross Poldark. Can I say that?
I agree.
He is not a good businessman. I know he galloped all over the countryside in this episode, raising funds or convincing people, but just don't go into business with Poldark. What did you think?
I thought it was the most fun episode of the year. I mean, we've had so much misery and so many dark scenes and flooded minds and dirty peasant faces. And it was just, I was so happy to see Caroline and Dr. Ennis back together.
I mean, that
just made me really happy. And so I could just completely disregard how tedious George is in that whole storyline because of Caroline and Dr. Ennis. They really saved it for me. They have saved the show and they've saved it for me. And somehow I believe Demelza is getting more beautiful. Is that possible? I don't know.
Yes,
she looked particularly beautiful.
I actually want that coat with the pewter buttons she has. That was lovely.
Yeah. So, okay, you can find our full recap written up over there on the Facebook group. That's Poldark. I want to remind you, too, that we do a Madam Secretary recap podcast. That's the one podcast we're doing this fall. This week's episode was particularly strong because it involved things we care about, involved Thailand, where Julie lives. So she felt very strongly about... What a terrible job the Madam Secretary writers did.
Yes.
Telling that story.
It involved still upset about it.
College admissions, which you can clear here. We know a lot about. And that involved old girlfriends from college showing up. And that was excellent. And then my boyfriend Eric Stoltz was in.
Yes.
So I always like when Eric Stoltz shows up. So that
I got to say, you know, I had not seen this Sunday's episode of Madam Secretary, but I listened to your recap yesterday. It's just a laugh out loud situation with the MSEC recap. You don't even have to watch the show. We encourage you to watch the show because we want to keep it on the air. But you guys just do a bang up job on Mondays doing that. So remember, that is a separate feed. If you want to listen to that, you have to subscribe to Satellite Sisters Talk TV, right?
Right. Yes. Thank you, Liz. Satellite Sisters Talk TV, and you can have all the Madam Secretary recaps are over there. And our previous recaps from Poldark, we got too busy this fall to do yet another recap. But thank you, Liz. We have fun doing it.
Yes.
Okay. I have another recommendation for you that you can find on Netflix. This is a new 6-episode series called Bodyguard. Now, I know everyone might be a little tense or taut during this election season, and so this may be counterintuitive, but if you are interested in seeing a very tense, taut drama, I highly recommend this. It's called Bodyguard. It's from the UK. It stars Richard Madden. They could use subtitles because he has a very heavy Scottish accent. So you've either got to sit very close to your device to hear it, or just turn up the sound really loud, or sometimes you have to just replay segments. But that's the good thing about Netflix. Liz, I know you've watched it. Did you enjoy it?
I really enjoyed this. I spaced the out because it's 6 episodes. I like these series, like, boom, you can get them done pretty quickly. It's not a lifetime commitment.
It's not a major commitment. Exactly.
So I did 2, 2, and 2, spread it out across 3 nights. It reminds me a lot of Homeland, a show that I love. And you know how lighthearted Homeland is. So if you take Homeland and then kick it up a notch, tension-wise, that's what you get. And this guy, David Budd, he plays, the character's name is David Budd, but the actor, Richard Madden, apparently he was Robb Stark on Game of Thrones. I don't watch Game of Thrones, so I had never seen him before. But he just is, he can stare right through you, this guy. And because he's bodyguard, staring
so
is
it's a very
really
good story. It's got a good plot. We're not going to tell you, we're not going to give away anything. We're just going to recommend that you watch Bodyguard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you need a little more tension in your life.
It's tense. Or just someone else's country being tense. How about that? Like, if you're sick of American tension, this is British tension.
Okay. We also want to say happy birthday to Joni Mitchell.
Oh, Joni.
Joni Mitchell is 75 years old tomorrow, Wednesday. Wow. I know. Wow. So, you know, if you are not familiar with Joni Mitchell, it means that you're young. God bless you. And
and we respect that.
We do. We wish we were young. But I just want to encourage you to, like, Joni Mitchell in your Spotify or whatever streaming service you use to listen to music, and just take a listen to Joni Mitchell, because her songwriting is unparalleled. Her voice is unparalleled. When I think of growing up in the Dolan household, I think of Joni Mitchell because my sisters had her albums on nonstop repeat, just
that is
over
correct.
And over and over again. Mm-hmm. So even though I was a little young, I heard a lot of Joni Mitchell growing up. I don't think you all would have made it out of your adolescence without Joni Mitchell.
It's
is
true.
That fair to say?
I think that's fair.
And
that is.
Yeah, we're not the only ones. They're throwing a big birthday party for her here in Los Angeles, and people are coming. Everybody from Kris Kristofferson to Chaka Khan to James Taylor is coming to do a giant concert, which we could not get tickets to. So we won't be going. But just a reminder, you know, she was the favorite songwriter of Prince, for instance. She is the songwriter's songwriter.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And that's so, you know, she, Graham Nash said in one quote I just read, the first time I met Joni, she played me 15 of the most beautiful songs I'd ever heard. I had no idea somebody could write so profoundly about life. Joni Mitchell raised a new bar that songwriters had to try and climb over or risk fading away.
Wow.
I mean, her stuff is just extraordinary. So, and it just takes you places you don't want to know. So if you've never listened to her before, I encourage you to give her a try. Joni Mitchell, it's the perfect Sunday morning music. It's the perfect Sunday morning music.
Mm-hmm.
Or, anytime.
Anytime, I might listen to her this afternoon.
That would be good. Please. I often, when I'm feeling bluesy, I often listen to some Joni Mitchell still. That's the gift my sisters have given me. So,
and if you don't know much about Joni Mitchell and you want to know more, we did a fantastic interview a few years ago with the woman who wrote the book Girls Like Us, which was essentially a biography of Joni Mitchell, Karen King, Carole King and Carly
Carole
Simon.
King. Yeah.
Carole King and Carly Simon. Girls Like Us. And she basically talks about their songwriting, their lives. And those were three incredibly important young women in our lives when we were growing up. So if you go into our archive and just type in the word Girls Like Us, you can listen to that whole interview, which is really, really entertaining.
Yeah. She had quite a life, too. Just to say that.
It was messy.
Many boyfriends, many excellent
some of the best boyfriends ever.
Ever. Yes. Yeah. She had a lot of boyfriends that we wanted to have as boyfriends. James Taylor, lot there. And one time Sheila unbelievably ran into her in Santa Monica at Nail Spa Lane.
Yes.
Like nail place. And Sheila, she just started crying. Like she couldn't.
Right.
She couldn't even speak.
She was her idol.
Yeah.
She loved Joni Mitchell. Yes.
So happy 75th birthday, Joni Mitchell.
Yes. Happy birthday, Joni.
Yep.
Okay. I wanted one reminder that we have all kinds of new things in the store. And Julie, you're not going to believe it. I ordered a bunch of things, samples of stuff, and brought them to the studio to show Leon today.
Uh-huh.
There's some hot items there. And it might be the first and only time you're ever going to see me in an apron. I bought a Satellite Sisters apron because I thought, now that's a really nice hostess gift if you're going anywhere for Thanksgiving. So we're going to do some photos here after we finish recording. I have the apron, I got a good coffee cup, and the all-important logos on the front and the back of a t-shirt.
Yeah.
So
yes.
I tried out a bunch of new products. You'll start to see those in photos in our Instagram feed, in our Twitter feed, and at satellitesisters.com. But thanks also. I posted the super cute photos your husband did of your grandchildren in the Nana Camp stuff.
Yes.
They were adorable.
Yeah. I mean, very high. Thumbs up on the sweatshirts. The kids love the sweatshirts. Very soft, good quality, really comfortable. They loved them.
So it's easy to find. There will be a link in the show notes. But if you're on the website, if you're at satellitesisters.com, you'll see the adorable photo that our staff photographer Brooks Treidler took of the three of us in our Stay Noisy t-shirts. And if you just click on the link there, it will take you directly to the store. So remember, you know, a nice hostess gift for, you know, wherever you're going for Thanksgiving. We recommend that.
Liz, good one.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring you one and bend. No, I'm going to bring you one of these turkeys, Liz. All right. We would like to thank Sergio Enriquez, who engineers our show and edits it. Thank you so much, Sergio. We'd also like to thank our sponsors for this week's show. We'd like there's and many thanks to everyone in the Satellite Sisterhood that supports our sponsors. All right. To-do list. Woo. What do you got, Lizzie?
Okay. So I'm going to be voting after I leave here.
Yeah.
And then I have to make a commitment to my election night snacking strategy, Leanne. And this is really a hard one because, you know, whatever you buy, you're going to eat all of it. Right. Because you're just going to be stress eating all night,
right?
No matter where you are on the political spectrum. So I've had to rule out things that are bad in bulk, like guacamole. I think I'm gonna try to limit my like salsa basca queso. Have some of that, but not too much.
Ooh.
I'm leaning towards the hummus category, thinking at least that's the healthier choice. And then the all important beverage decision. I've been laying off any wine at home as part of my Operation Sea Turtle training for the major athletic event Julie and I are doing early in the new year. But I'm thinking maybe tonight I can violate my own rule.
Violate the rule.
And I might need a little bottle of a little Sauvignon Blanc to wash all that hummus down. So that's what I'm doing after I leave here.
All right, Julie, how about you? What's on your to-do list?
Hey, mine is a mind game. I'm just practicing acceptance because that's, you know, I took my power. I went into the voting booth. I voted, okay? And I'm just going to practice acceptance, you know, that we're all going to move forward. That's what I think. And I'm working on my attitude, Leon. That's what I got going.
Okay.
How about that?
And Leon, how about you?
Well, my to-do list is checked. You know, I was nagging the vote and I have both millennials have voted, the sons. I also got their girlfriends to vote. So
that's good.
Via text. I feel like I did my part. I got four millennials to the poll. I'm done. So all I have to do is get myself to the polls after we vote. And then, I'm going into some deep hibernation. Be exciting. Exciting night. Or not. We'll see. All right, everybody. Have a great week.
You too, Leanne.
You too.
Yeah, take a chill pill.
Yeah.
Yes, usually accept.
Accept/resist,
slash stay noisy / zip it.
Yeah. And whatever is appropriate for you.
And don't forget, call your satellite sister.